Hello and welcome. Today we've got Ismael Perez, and today we are going to be discussing the connection between the White Hats and the Galactic Federation. Now, just before we begin, you can subscribe to my new Truth Social platform at Nicholas Veniamin and to nicholasveniamin.com for my free email updates. Ismael, thank you for joining me, sir. How are you and what have you been up to?
Thank you for having me here again. I've been really, really busy, my brother, you know, just staying on top of things, currently writing another book, which is going to be, I guess, a part three to our cosmic origin, or rather part two. And I'm also in the process of republishing my first book that I wrote 14 years ago, revealing, you know, the true history of the Earth based on the battle between the two brotherhoods. You know, we have the Luciferian Brotherhood and the Melchizedek Brotherhood, which are, you know, the forces of Luciferian representing forces of, you know, the Cabal and stuff. And then the Melchizedek Brotherhood representing forces of light. But in great detail, of course. So I've been, you know, very, very busy doing all that and teaching online courses as well. So thank you.
So why don't you tell us, you know, how long the Galactic Federation have been going on for, and how you get all this information? Is it through channeling? Do you get visions? Do you connect with them? You know, how do we know this?
Well, I get downloads, you know, ever since I started meditating at the age of 21, when I started incorporating Kriya Yoga, I started opening up my channels to receive information from my galactic family. So I'm considered a Lyran. I'm actually the chief Lyran leader. I am in charge of the Lyran Federation that is working in collaboration with the Sirian High Council. So I'm also Sirian. I've had several incarnations in Sirius as well. And I also had a few lifetimes in the Pleiadians. So I connect with a lot of commanders. The main commanders that I work with are from the Sirian High Council that are overseeing the entire Federation. I also work with Pleiadian commanders and Venusian commanders, and of course, Lyran commanders. And what I mean by Venusian is that, you know, planet Venus is still occupied by higher dimensional beings. You know, the reason it looks vacant to us is because we're perceiving it from a third dimensional perspective. But the truth of the matter is, from the fifth dimension and up, I mean, there's beautiful crystalline cities coming up all the way to the atmosphere, and, you know, ships coming to and fro. It's fully active, fully active.
So would you say the moon, Venus, Mars, do you believe they're all occupied, that in our solar system, all of the planets are occupied and we're just quarantined on Earth thinking we're completely alone?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We've been in quarantine for about 13,000 years. You know, ever since the Draco Empire infiltrated us during the times of Atlantis. And the quarantine actually, this is what's going to come as a shocker to most. It wasn't really done by the Draco. It was actually done by the Federation in order to pin them down here, because the Federation were winning the war in space for, you know, the second time. You know, they lost it after the first time, they regained it back. And in order to prevent tyranny from spreading into the galaxy, they narrowed down the battle to just our solar system right after the fall of Atlantis. That's when that took place. But from what they've been telling me is that the quarantine has now been lifted. So that explains why Earth's re-entry into the galactic community is imminent. And, you know, of course, this is going to be precipitated by the EBS, you know, the Nisera Gisera, new financial systems, and the restoration of the Republic worldwide, not just here in the States, but it's going to be a Commonwealth of Nations. A true democratic global system that is going to replace the NWO.
So the beings that are existent right now in Venus, Mars, the moon, and probably others too, what do they think? And who are they, first of all? And what do they think about us?
They see us as, well, because we are the culmination of this intergalactic experiment, we are essentially the most powerful race. Once we begin to use more than 4% of our full genetic material, we begin to access levels of power beyond any other species that has existed. So they see us both as a young race, but at the same time, they see us as the chosen race, as the race that is going to bring peace, balance, and harmony to the entire multiverse from this Earth. They love us. You know, been around for billions of years. That is the Venetians. You know, the Lyrans have been around for a few billion years as well. And a lot of the Pleiadians that have been working from behind the scenes are all collaborating with the Venetians, the Lyrans, and really they're all humanoid. You know, if they were to walk among us, all they have to do is take off their spacesuits or their togas, put on a t-shirt and jeans, and they could blend right in. So, you know, that's one of the things that I talked about in my book, is that there is a common ancestry throughout the cosmos, not only here in our galaxy, but in every galaxy. And that is the fact that there's human-like races everywhere.
Absolutely. I mean, we know that the Andromedans, they're blue and they're slightly different. They have a big, you know, head at the back. You know, their head is much bigger and their eyes are more wider apart. Their ears are smaller. So they would stand out quite a bit, even if they did wear a t-shirt. What do you think about that?
The Andromedans, yes. The Pleiadians, no. The Venetians, no. And the Lyrans, no. Because the Pleiadians and the Lyrans and the Venetians are actually, we resemble them. Out of all the humanoid galactic races out there, they come close to resembling us, you know, where they have, you know, they could look Mediterranean, they could look Nordic, they could look, you know, indigenous, they could look African, and they could blend right in. And they have the similar features as we do, except the only difference is that they're very chiseled and they're very tall, and all of them appear to be extremely good looking. So in the eyes of most humans, they would appear to look like models. Like us, well, more like you. I don't consider myself.
I'm only joking.
You never know. You could be a mission. You just need to like snap into your mission and be like, oh, wait a minute. I remember the mission now. Or a Pleiadian. Actually, you got more of the Pleiadian vibe. I don't know if you were ever told that you're a Pleiadian star.
I've been told that from a few people, actually, and they don't know each other. And it's very interesting you say that. Yeah.
Well, I validated and confirmed that for you. That's the vibe I get from you. Totally Pleiadian.
So how do you get that vibe? That's very interesting. I'm very interested about other beings and their, you know, their realities and what they're doing, what they're thinking, and how we're going to be evolving in that as well, and what our Earth is going to look like. But how do you know if someone is more of a Pleiadian? What kind of a vibe do you get, or if they're an Andromedan?
It's an intuitive inner knowing. So what I do is, like, I'm very in touch with my intuition. So the energy I get from you, my spirit guides are telling me you're a Pleiadian incarnate, you're a Pleiadian starseed, and that's why you're part of the Truther movement. You know, because a lot of us came to this Earth to pretty much break down the old paradigm, to bust the system, right, so that we could free the Earth and liberate the Earth, and that's what we're doing. So that's how I'm able to see who's who. You know, Arcturians have a different vibrational frequency than Pleiadians. Andromedans have a different. Every star race out there has a different frequency. So from what I get from you is totally Pleiadian.
You see, I mean, what makes me a Pleiadian? How many lives would I have to have been a Pleiadian, you know, to call me a Pleiadian? Because, you know, fundamentally, we all, you know, incarnate on different planets to learn as a school. But really, we're all frequency and we all come from God. So what do you think about that?
And that's absolutely correct. And, you know, the truth of the matter, Nicholas, is that we've been every race, but there is a primary race that we typically vibrate mostly with. And that has a lot to do with many of your incarnations were actually in the Pleiadians. You know, perhaps you're a commander in one of the Pleiadian starships, and you just don't have access to that galactic version of yourself. Because as multidimensional beings, we're able to exist both here on the Earth as boots on the ground and on a mothership, you know, doing galactic activities. But we don't have, because of the veil, right? Once we become activated, then we're going to be merging with our galactic self. So that's one of the ways, I guess that's one of the things that I teach is ascension is really multidimensional integration, is really integrating every aspect of yourself. But yeah, overall, we've been everything. You know, many of us have been planets. You know, many of us have been actual stars. Some of us have even been galaxies, and then a very small number of us have been universes. So we've been everything. We've been trees, we've been minerals, we've been elements, not just, you know, humanoids. And then in some cases, some of us in other parallel realities have played the role of the dark side, where we were actually the Draco. So that's just the way the multiverse works, you know. But in this reality, you're obviously of the light, I'm obviously of the light, and, you know, we're here to bring balance to the galaxy.
Interesting. So once we become more light, we're evolved and we're becoming advanced, and and we just continue becoming more light. And, you know, was this a long time ago when we were once a tree or a Draco? I mean, when we say once, I mean, it's everything has energy. Okay. So yeah. Like a table, like a sun, like star, like a, you know, food, like a plant, everything has energy. And I completely get that. You know, our energy was once into that, maybe into a plant or something. We experience everything possible in the whole universe. And also we have different dimensions. So can you explain the dimensions as well, you know, how they differ from the physical one and what kind of experiences one might have in another dimension?
Sure. So every dimension is matter vibrating at different frequencies. So technically, we exist in a material form all the way to the 12th dimension. Beyond the 12th dimension, we become etheric. And then beyond the 15th dimension, we become antimatter, pure light. So how this works is the fifth dimension is actually known as the perfect equilibrium, where a person could have a full body operating with a full body activation while maintaining physical form. And that explains the multidimensional beings that were wrongly classified as gods in mythology. They were actually extraterrestrials, multidimensional galactics, as we are, you know. And so every dimension is different. You know, the fourth dimension is, some call it the astral world, the astral plane, but there's also different octaves within each dimension. So we have like the lower fourth dimension where the regressives, the archon energies, the Draco reside, and we have the higher upper fourth dimension where, you know, higher beings or beings of light reside. But beyond the fourth dimension, due to this cleansing that took place from the higher dimensions that is now reaching us, there is no more negative entities, you know. So you could say that the fifth dimension has now been purged, and the fifth dimension is also related to the idea of Christ consciousness, unity consciousness, seeing everything as one, you know, the universe is one big organism and we're all cells in it, seeing everyone as one and the same, seeing the Christ within everyone or everyone as an expression of source. And that's what ultimately we are. But as we go higher into the sixth dimension, then we become part of a social memory complex where we are both an individualized unit of consciousness while maintaining our individuality. But at the same time, we become part of a unimind with others, you know, and that explains why some extraterrestrials, when they come forward or when they download information to some of the starseeds, they refer to themselves as a collective, because it's not just, they're not just referring to just one individual, they're referring to the entire species. And so as we move on into the seventh dimension, then at that point, we just become part of a unimind while maintaining our individualized unit of consciousness. So the whole end game of this, or where we're all heading, is to reunite back with everything, with all that is, which is pretty much all the way to the 13th dimension. So basically, we could say this, that every dimension is also related to one of our chakras. So we have seven major chakras within our physical body, and we have five minor chakras outside of our body. Well, those five minor chakras that are outside of our body are the levels of consciousness that connect us beyond our bodies. So for instance, you know, when we begin to work with the eighth chakra, we're actually activating the planetary mind of our planet. We begin to fuse with our planet and we become one with it. So those that are fully activated and have opened up their eighth chakra are able to control the weather, are able to harness the power of the elements, and they're like a natural heart. They could literally make it rain. They could make it stop rain. They could create, you know, a hurricane with their mind, because they're actually one with the mind of the planet. Once you activate the ninth chakra, then you begin to unify your individualized unit of consciousness with the star, the mind of Helios, which is our star. At that point, you become like a Jedi. You know, you're able to harness electricity, magnetics through your arms, you know, like Zeus did in ancient times. Once you activate the 10th chakra, then you become, you fuse with the mind of our constellation, and which consists of many, many different star systems. So now you're actually, your consciousness is expanding. You know, you're going from an individual person to fusing with the planetary field, the mind of the world, our Earth, fusing with the mind of our star, and then with the mind of our constellation. And then once you hit the 11th chakra, that's when you become one with the mind of our galaxy. That's when you are in constant communication with Melchior. So even our galaxy has a name, just like our star has a name and our planet has a name. So does our galaxy. Our galaxy is known as Melchior, which is a very advanced cosmic entity on a macro level of reality. So we're all cells in Melchior. And then once you go beyond the 12th chakra, because we also have a 13th chakra, that connects us with the entire universe. And at that point, you're just one with the entire universe.
Wow, interesting. So talk to me about the energies now that we are receiving from different star systems and also the changes that we're going through as the universe, you know, with the Earth. What's happening? And have you, you know, do you think that people are starting to feel different consciously and subconsciously?
Absolutely. So the changes that are taking place are not just local. They're actually happening in the entire universe. So most people think that it's just about the ascension of the Earth, but it's really not. It's also about the ascension and restoration of our Milky Way galaxy, as far as like realigning it with M31 Andromeda, which is the galaxy that we used to be a part of. We used to be part of a super galaxy called the Amway galaxy before the dark forces kind of threw our galaxy into a lower octave or lower dimension. And so it's also about the restoration and ascension of our entire universe, where for the first time in cosmic history, our entire universe will be ascending and realigning with the eternal life systems of the Mother Central Universe. And that's how universes become immortal. Otherwise, you know, most universes or some universes that don't align with the eternal life streams of the Mother Universe end up eventually dying out and decaying. And then they have to, you know, collapse again into a point of singularity, and then, which is what we call a black hole. And then, of course, they, you know, reincarnate. And then that's when they are born again. So even universes reincarnate when they're not ready to ascend. They also go through the reincarnational process until they ascend and become, you know, immortalized. So every planet, every galaxy is helping us. You know, the photon energies, the gamma ray frequencies that are bombarding our world through these CMEs, M-class, X-class solar flares is a collaborated effort from planets throughout the Milky Way, from galaxies throughout the universe, and they're all working together to trigger the changes that is going to begin here, but yet also be a catalyst for the rest of the universe to, you know, eventually it's going to be like a cosmic reset. You know, there's going to be a whole new heavens and a whole new earth when the solar flash takes place. It's not just a local event. It's an event that's actually going to take place everywhere.
Do you think the solar flash is happening right now very gradually?
Yes, it's happening in increments. But I believe that very soon, again, I don't want to, you know, give dates, but I believe that between now and 2024, I'm going to stick to my original prediction, my original vision that I had. You know, we will, sun will release the final trigger that's going to totally transform our species and everything in the cosmos from this Earth. Like I mentioned before, it's going to it's going to activate our dormant DNA, which in turn is going to act like a EMP that is going to destroy all like the black goo, the nanotech, you know, all the stuff that's artificial. It's just going to destroy it. And then at the same time, it's going to send that shockwave to the entire universe and pretty much destroy all the inorganics like this in a split second.
So would you mean that it's going to destroy
the inorganics?
Yes. Like, well, yeah. What is inorganics? What does that mean to you?
Well, the inorganics are the ontological, cybernetic, artificial intelligences. Those are the beings that have no souls. Those are the beings that were generated and developed by the AI God. And they have their own multiverse. They exist in a separate alternative multiverse known as the Phantom Matrix. So unfortunately, they've been using our multiverse, our living multiverse, as a energy battery in order to power up their multiverse. So when the solar flash takes place and our DNA activates, our DNA is going to send the shockwave all over the living organic multiverse that we're a part of to pretty much destroy all these cybernetic intelligence that are acting like battery harness or cosmic vampires. That's what they are. They're like vampires. They're just sucking up our energy in order to power up their multiverse. But yeah.
So how would they disappear? I mean, how would it appear to us? I mean, would they die from a heart attack, or would they literally, you know, just like we can see ghosts, where we call them ghosts, but there is another dimension. Sometimes we can see a shadow and then we don't see it because it's in between two channels. So is it going to be a little bit like that, where they just become invisible and they just disappear too, and they go in their own timeline? How would it quite work?
Oh, no, as an EMP, that's going to totally destroy them.
Yeah, but how? Would it appear to us?
Well, okay, so to the organic sentient species out there that are actually at war with them, all of a sudden they're just going to see them vanquish. So in a sense, yeah, they're going to disappear, but they're also going to be extinct. It's not like they're going to get a chance to teleport back to their own multiverse, you know, cybernetic phantom matrix multiverse. No, they're going to be toast. And then we're going to have 1,000 years of peace here on the earth, in which time the humans are going to be going from our level of potential to human 3.0 as we begin to use more dormant DNA. And throughout the millennium, we're actually going to have the opportunity to reach even higher levels of power so that when we get ready, we're actually going to also go out and destroy the phantom matrix cybernetic multiverse, because, you know, that's the reason why there's so much pain and suffering throughout the cosmos. So once we get rid of the phantom matrix multiverse, which is going to happen at the end of the millennium, and that's what the Bible talks about when it says that the beast, being, you know, artificial intelligence, is going to be we're going to have peace. We're not going to deal with it until the end of the millennium. And at the end of the millennium, there's going to be one final clash against the beast, and then that's when the beast is finally going to be destroyed. But the beast is going to be destroyed by the star seeds once the star seeds activate their superhuman abilities.
So what happens after 1,000 years of peace?
Then the star seeds from this earth are going to fight one final war against Omega Charon, Saurian. Sorry, his last name is Saurian. Omega Saurian, which is the AI god, and his minions, which is a vast army of androids and cybernetic intelligences that he's actually building right now.
So you're saying that in 1,000 years, I might be back here?
In 1,000 years, where the thing is like once the solar flash takes place, our bodies are going to transform. You know, instead of being mortal, we're going to go from being mortal to being immortal as our crystalline, and in some cases, our diamond DNA kicks in. And that's how we're going to be able to stay here for, you know, live for thousands and thousands of years and witness. And in some cases, even, you know, if you're a starseed, you're obviously going to engage in this battle. And I think you are as well, because like I said, you know, you got the Palladian vibes here. But yeah, that's what's going to happen.
So when someone has a crystal body, let's say someone next to us was standing, you know, next to us with, you know, a crystal body, how would it appear to us? How would it differ to our bodies? And how would we identify it with the knowledge or, you know, the way we see things from our eyes today or from the normal person?
Well, they appear to be immortal. They appear to be angelic-like. You know, their bodies are indestructible. And a lot of this stuff is being revealed through the comics and through the, you know, superhero movies. So, for instance, to give you an example of a person who has crystalline DNA as opposed to carbon-based DNA, you know, Superman from planet Krypton, the only reason he is indestructible and has superhuman abilities is because he's operating with a crystalline DNA structure. That's just to give you an example. So when we transform into meta angelic humanoids without merging with the tech, we're going to have, you know, we're going to become indestructible. We're actually going to fulfill the prophecies, because the original prophecies talked about the return of the gods. It never said that the gods were going to return from the sky or the gods and goddesses. The original oracles that date back to Atlantis believe that the gods and goddesses would emerge from the already existing human race, which is what the star seeds are.
Interesting. When you mentioned Superman, I was thinking with the one with Christopher Reeves. And do you remember the baddies? They were kept in this sort of box thing in the universe. And when planet Krypton exploded, the radiation had broken their veil and they managed to come to Earth. Do you remember that?
I do remember. Yeah, they were contained in kind of like a phantom prison. The bad guys, right? And that's disclosure right there. You know, there are technologies where if certain galactic beings violate the cosmic or galactic codex, they do become sentenced to some sort of prison where they can't get out of for, like, you know, for thousands or hundreds of thousands of years. Yeah, that's galactic jail right there for you.
Wow. So we've been in galactic jail here, really, on planet Earth.
Well, we have been, but like I mentioned earlier, the quarantine of the Earth has been lifted by the good guys, because the good guys were just getting, you know, they were just waiting to pin down the dark side here in our solar system. And they have, you know, the galactic wars are over. You know, there's you could say that for the first time in 600 million years, peace is ringing across the Milky Way. And all they're waiting for is just to clean up the last residue here in our world. And then we're going to have a galactic reunion.
Because we've got so many, you know, new energy coming in and there's big changes coming. It appears that the political realm is very confusing, isn't it?
Very, yeah.
What do you think about that? Tell me.
Well, that's because we have two governments that are coexisting. We have the real government led by, you know, Mr. T and the military and the alliance. And then we have the pseudo government that is only held there by the mass media. And that explains a lot of the confusion. People don't know what to believe now, you know, but even people who voted for the, you know, for that vermin, whatever you want to call them in the White House, I guess I could use the word vermin, are actually seeing, you know, they're changing their mind about him. They're seeing how he's, you know, really just messing up the country more so. And their opinion of him has changed. You know, I'm talking to some people, even at the gym, I noticed that people that voted for him are like, hey, man, we made a mistake. You were right. And I was like, see, told you guys.
<You know? laughs> So, yeah. What do you think about, do you do channeling and get downloads for things like what's happening with, you know, the FBI raid, for an example, you know, to see what's happening on a spiritual side of things, you know, because it's always the other side, you know, when things, we know when things happen on our physical realm and we say, well, it happened for a reason. It's because we're guided from the other side or we have something to learn. So do you ever get downloads to see what's going on here? On, you know,
I do. So what happened a month ago or a few weeks ago at his house was the deep state's. They were trying to, okay, because they know he's coming back, obviously. So they're trying to throw a monkey wrench in that. They're trying to prevent him from coming back. But what they're also doing is, you know, they're also throwing themselves, how can I say it? This is going to be more of a reason for the alliance to bring down the deep state, you know, because they had no evidence, you know, that he had some documents. And the truth is that those documents were stored somewhere else. The documents that are going to reveal the truth and expose, you know, all the deep staters. That's what they were looking for, but they couldn't find them because, you know, T's not dumb enough to put those documents in his house. But that's going to give the White Hats more of a reason to use that as a way to, you know, bring down the deep state for, you know, violating his personal freedom and stuff or his personal privacy.
Interesting. I spoke to Michelle Fielding and she says that this Christmas will be all about those documents. And, you know, she thinks that a lot of it's White Hat controlled and the, even though there might be deep staters in the FBI, they're with unknowingly controlled by the White Hats and being given tasks to do by the White Hats. And they have no idea that it's the White Hats above them doing it. So what do you think about that? That the White Hats are in control of everything, almost, not everything, but almost.
That's accurate. So that's needed to happen, by the way, in order for the White Hats to have, you know, more crimes against them, you could say. But absolutely. She's right. Yeah. Michelle Fielding is right. Actually, she is a galactic channeler. You know, she's of the light.
She's, I like her. Of the light. Yeah, absolutely. So very interesting conversations. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we haven't covered.
Well, let's see. What can we say also? Well, what I wanted to say also is that the attempt to save the Republic here by the White Hats and the Earth Alliance is being orchestrated by, you know, the Galactic Federation, who have been trying to restore freedom, balance, and liberation to the galaxy for millions of years. But at the same time, from a higher level of reality, there is a house cleansing taking place by even beings that are beyond the Federation that are operating from Harmonic Universe number 3, 4, and 5, which leads to the realms of the Central Universe, that are also conducting a cosmic house cleansing, not only in our universe, but in many universes. So that is great news because, you know, what's going to happen here on the Earth is going to be something that's going to like totally lead us into a whole new different era in cosmic history, like a whole new different cycle is going to begin. And we're going to be the forerunners of that, you know.
Absolutely.
So we're living an exciting.
No, please tell me.
No, I just wanted to say we're living in the most exciting times ever in the history of the Earth.
We are. And I'm very interested. And now I go to the coffee shop and I speak to people. I always say hello, you know, to people. And, you know, we have these spiritual conversations, and subconsciously or consciously, they're becoming more spiritual. They believe in more positivity and, you know, good intentions and manifesting. And, you know, I don't remember having this conversation with, you know, my grandparents, for an example. If you spoke to them about this, they would think you're crazy. But now it's like becoming a normal thing. And there's been an increase. So there is more energies, and the healers, the people that I've noticed who were needing, you know, needing healing, are now becoming the healers. And I'm also seeing that too. What do you think about that?
That is correct, because the density of the planet is lifting. You know, we're becoming more light as a collective. As we hit critical mass, we're going to be seeing a lot of what we would call normies waking up. And that's a beautiful thing, you know.
And we're slowly just getting on well, and it's just going to increase very slowly. And as that increases, I think, you know, consciousness and the love vibration, I think the evil one, with the politics or without the politics, I think they won't be able to survive just from our love vibration. The waves are just too strong.
Absolutely. And that has a lot to do with also the higher beings that are beaming us with all this light frequency vibration of just unconditional love. That's the way to, you know, destroy darkness in any system, is by just beaming the light. You know, after a while, it hits critical mass, and then there is no more room for the darkness to exist.
Well, Ishmael Perez, it's been an absolute honor to have you. Thank you so, so much for sharing your views today with us. Is there anything else that you'd like to say to the viewers before we finish?
Yeah, just to, you know, stay grounded, stay strong, and just don't let anything, you know, throw you off from your own path, because, you know, there is misinformation out there that are, you know, being, used by people in order to, like, throw us off of our, you know, off of our own spiritual walk. And just remember that the battle's already been won. You know, the best thing to do at this point is just to put all your focus on creating what you would consider heaven on earth, because, you know, our thoughts and our perceptions and our beliefs are co-creating reality.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Ishmael, and we'll speak again very soon, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.